From the Land Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of August, 2025. The Illinois State Fair is underway in Springfield. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Tom Gleason. Tomorrow is Ag Day on the fairgrounds. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets for this Thursday with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. And along the way, I'll update you on what's been happening in the world of agricultural news. The U.S. Grains Council has a new name, and biofuels have some related issues. So we'll talk about that, too, during this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day settled at 384.5, up 4.75. December at 407, 5.75 higher. In the March, up 5.25. Settlement price there at $4.24.5. September beans, 974, up 8.5. November, new crop, 9.93¾. Soybeans up 9.25. And January futures at $10.12.5, up 9.25. Bean meal, 3.50 higher. The bean oil, 22 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat in the December, up 9.75. The hard red, up 10. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. You are in the state of Nebraska today?
Yep, I'm out here doing one of their technology events. They've got these all over the place now, and it's a big event. Probably 1,500 growers out here between Lincoln and Grand Island, so it's a pretty interesting event.
That's a big field day. Do they have you outside, or are you under a tent?
I'm in a tent, actually. They've got, you know, their facilities indoors as well, but they try to tents for presentations and stuff like that, so they've got plenty of room for it. But, yeah, it's a little warm, but, you know, it's not a
reason. Did you fly or did you drive? And if you drove, what did you see?
Well, I actually flew, and that was actually kind of a nice experience, to be honest with you. But we could see the crops, and about everything that we've seen looks awfully good. It just everything looks green as can be. So, you know, I do know some of the growers we've talked to in certain areas have had too much rain, especially some of the guys that we've talked to from Iowa. But bottom line is the crop looks really good overall.
I gather the farmers in Nebraska must be ecstatic about the size of their crop. They're thinking something north of 200.
You know, we've talked to a lot of growers, and I'd say that, you know, on average, that's the case. There's a handful of them that say that they really need rain, like in the south central part of the state. A few of them have said that. I've got to think, though, that Nebraska overall is going to end up, you know, be it pushing a record. You know, you look at everything that we've looked at, and it just looks fantastic. So, and again, the variety of growers is pretty happy about what they're looking at.
Tell me about what you're discussing with them as it's related to the marketplace.
You know, just trying to be cognizant of, you know, what it's going to look like if we get into a situation this fall where, you know, where we get forced into going to the elevator with some bushels. You know, what would basis look like, you know, in an area where you've got record county yields? And I think we all know it could be a bit of a challenge to navigate that. So, you know, we're trying to talk to them a little bit about, you know, not getting locked into a situation they don't want to be in this fall. And if they want to stay long, you know, try to do so maybe in a limited risk basis, a call or a call spread. Maybe try to get out to spring because, you know, I think I've heard across the board at the events I've been at that most of these growers and the teams that are working with the growers, you know, they feel like you're going to see a little bit of a shift in acreage towards soybeans. I know from a profit standpoint, neither one look fantastic, but I just think, you know, wherever you look at the balance sheets, both U.S. and world, you can make a little better case maybe for corn than what you can for soybeans. You know, and so I would like to plant corn personally, but the the functionality of it, unfortunately, from a liquidity standpoint, a lot of growers are feeling the pinch.
Have you been able to follow the markets today and to give me a reason why it popped?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in all honesty, that corn market yesterday, made the third straight day in a row of contract low. But then we had a nice close yesterday. You know, we reversed off that low. We didn't close higher, but we certainly came well off the low. We'd been under $4, come in today with some buying. I think that there's a lot of folks that are just of the opinion that, you know, maybe we've heard some of the highest private estimates that we're going to hear. You know, there are some people calling in and talking about all the tip back and disease they've seen. So, you know, maybe the shine of the crop has been taken off just a little bit. I know it's going to be an awfully large crop, and I'd say easily a record. It's just how much of a record. And so you got to think the funds that have been short for all this time, in some cases, might decide, you know what, it can't get much more bearish than this for now. Maybe we'll just take some profits and see what happens here on this August report.
I know you probably already talked with Stonex and Arlen Suderman about their 188.1 bushel to the acre yield guess for corn. What's agmarket.net looking forward to?
Yes, so we're at a 184.8 for the estimate. I mean, in essence, what we're trying to do is we're trying to guess what the USDA is going to come out with. As you know, Todd, I mean, in August last year, we shaved some bushels off. There's a fair amount of growers we've talked to in the last 3 days that need rain. I would say we've got a big crop in central Illinois, but we could sure use another rain to finish this thing off and make it a record. But, you know, I think that 184.8 for me is a comfortable place to be. I feel confident they'll come in above last year. I just don't think they're going to get carried away to the upside with how we saw that yield drop from August out till, you know, January. I think they're maybe going to be a little more hesitant to go hog wild on a yield estimate.
Anything we should discuss from the soybean market? It gained 9 cents for the day.
Yeah, I mean, the soybean market essentially has struggled as well here lately. But at the same time, you know, overall, you've got to think that August weather is going to play the biggest role here. And clearly, some guys have been blessed with decent rainfall. But I'd say overall, August hasn't, relative to July, hasn't been near as wet. You know, and beans are an August crop. So I think there's probably a little hesitancy in pushing the sell button until we get a little better idea of how's this bean crop going to finish. You know, I think up in your neck of the woods and my neck of the woods, we could have a massive soybean crop. But we're not going to do so without some rainfall.
What else have you been following we need to be aware of?
Well, I'll tell you what, the cattle market is absolutely on fire still. You know, feeders up $5-6 and fats up at an all-time high again today. It's just an incredible move that we've seen after the debacle on Thursday. You know, come back and make new highs. This is actually the fifth day in a row we've closed these cattle markets higher. So it's quite a market to follow.
I can only imagine that the folks in Nebraska are excited about that. How are their basis levels holding up for grains and oilseeds?
You know, their basis for fall looks a lot better than a couple of places that I've been here. If I look at basis right here close to Gaynor, Nebraska, which is where their facility is, you know, they've actually got a posted anywhere from 12 to 25 under, and that looks better than a lot of places I've been. So fairly high demand area, a lot of cattle in this part of the world and west, and then, of course, they've got some ethanol plants. So definitely a good demand area, and it's been reflected in that basis.
That much corn in Nebraska is likely to cause a problem for the rail loaders in Illinois that try to ship westward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that they'll be able to fill a lot of their own needs. And, you know, some of these guys that, you know, have shipped out here for, you know, we saw a huge, huge amount of corn come west whenever they had their drought a couple of years ago. That's probably not going to happen here this year. So it's going to be a little bit of a different setup.
Thank you much, Matt. We appreciate you taking time out of your day at the Becknology. That's the Beck Seed Field Day in Gaynor, Nebraska today to talk with us.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. Just a quick reminder that the Illinois State Fair starts today in Springfield. I hope you have the opportunity to visit the fair sometime between now and Sunday the 17th if you've not ever made a trip. For the Illinois State Fair, you certainly are missing something. It's a great event. It really is. I have gone for decades now. I grew up nearby and worked the fair for the bulk of my life, starting at a very young age with the American Legion selling lemonade from a stand there with my father and brothers and all the folks from the good town of Elkhart, Illinois. So if you get a chance, make sure you visit the state fairgrounds in Springfield sometime between today and Sunday, the 17th of August. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with the value of farmland. U.S. Chief Economist Seth Meyer says the latest farmland values and cash rent numbers indicate a cooling in year-over-year growth.
Cash rents showing flat value changes year-over-year, but we're seeing the farmers' assessed value of their agricultural real estate increasing by 4.3%.
When breaking down land values by croplands and pasture,
if we separate it out into cropland, still producers assess that cropland increased 4.7% in 2025 to $5,830 an acre. So assessing that cropland is increasing at a greater rate than overall ag land, and pasture land showing an even larger increase at 4.9%, hitting $1,920.
Meyer noted farm real estate values by state reflected year-over-year increases in each of the lower 48 states. They were led by an 8.4% farmland value increase in North Carolina. Looking across the Midwest, the average value of farmland in Indiana was up 4% year over year, 2.6% in Illinois, 3.9% in Iowa, 4.2% in Nebraska, 6.8% in South Dakota. Their average was $2,970. By comparison, the Illinois and Indiana were in the high $8,000 figure. Iowa was at $9,790 an acre. We'll stay in Washington, D.C., but move from survey results to policy issues. September will bring another funding cliff for USDA and the rest of the federal government as the two parties fight it out over presidential funding clawbacks, which, by the way, are personal here at Illinois Public Medium, where some $1.5 million of our budget was clawed back earlier in the year. The House and the Senate USDA spending bills are almost $4 billion apart, and the House must still pass its bill before a compromise can be struck and taken up again in both chambers. But standing in the way is a September budget shutdown. Senate Majority Leader John Thune is considering whether or not he should use a stopgap measure.
I think a lot of that depends on how cooperative the Democrats are in trying to get the appropriations process moving forward. But what I can tell you is we are going to look for ways to keep the government funded and open and operating.
For his part, the top Democrat in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, first threatened a government shutdown after Republicans passed the $9 billion in Trump spending clawbacks. That's what the IPM clawback is all about. But then let a handful of bills pass, including USDA.
When one side tries to do it all, it creates big problems. We are pushing hard to get the appropriations process moving, continuing to move forward, and that's why we're cooperating with the bills they're putting on the floor.
But Schumer and top House Democrat Jeffries are now demanding Republicans end clawbacks and spending freezes to get cooperation to keep the government funded. Senator Chuck Grassley isn't buying it.
This is a cover your rear end sort of an approach. This is their way of saying, well, if the government shuts down, it's the Republicans' fault. We're not going to fall for that.
That was Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Well, uncertainty surrounding U.S. biofuels policy and continued trade tensions push second quarter profits to multi-year lows for multiple crop trading companies, including ADM and Bunge. Ag equipment manufacturers also warned customers that increasing trade tensions will cause increased equipment prices in the second half of 2025. Reuters says ADM posted its lowest second quarter profit in 5 years as trade challenges and uncertain biofuel policies slowed sales and hurt trading and crop processing margins. The company said the full year 2025 adjustment earnings could drop to around $4 a share, the lowest since 2020. ADM, Bunge, and Cargill have reported eroding profits in recent quarters because of ample crop supplies and thinning margins. Bloomberg reported adjusted earnings at $1.31 per share for the 3 months ending in June, the lowest point since 2018. AGCO Corporation and CNH Industrial also say customers will soon feel the impact of tariffs due to higher prices. And finally today, the mission is the same, but there's a new name for the U.S. Grains Council, or USGC. After 65 years, it will now be known as the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council. Nebraska corn grower Jay Reiners is vice chair of the organization and says it's about positioning the council to get recognized as a leader in more than grains.
Not only are we producing ethanol out of these ethanol plants, but we're getting so much more products that are being derived from ethanol and corn products. You know, like for example, we're getting plastics, we're getting chemical, biochemicals being made now. So that's what we changed our name, so it just kind of flows in with what our mission is.
Reiner says there's a big potential for the council, but the name has been holding them back internationally.
We've heard from our international offices that they wanted a name change. That's what pushed this whole thing the last couple of years. We've been talking about this for at least 2 years. And so, yeah, it was all led by, you know, if it was just the U.S., we wouldn't know anything about it, but our overseas offices, they are really pushing for this.
So what had been known as the U.S. Grains Council is transitioning to the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council in an attempt to better reflect that it's more than grain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org, willag.org, where today you'll find information on nitrogen rates and application timings from the webinar I hosted along with Laura Gentry from the Illinois Corn Growers Association and Gary Schnitke from the Farm Doc team earlier this week. About 70% of producers are applying more nitrogen than they need to maximize their yields in any given year. You probably are among them. When was the last time you changed your application rates or even timings? You can find out more about how to do that and how to use the MRTN. That's the maximum return to nitrogen in-rate calculator available online. It's all on our website at willag.org. Take time right now to visit and learn more. Now, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mike Tenura is here. He is with T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us. I'd like to take some time today in the Midwest to talk about the weather, in part because the Illinois State Fair starts today. And during the fair, we oftentimes will get, depending on the August, pop-up weather systems, those thunderstorms that roll through. They're periodic, they're sporadic. I'm wondering if that's in the offing for this state fair and the month of August in general, or if there is a different type of pattern in place.
Well, sure. Pop-up thunderstorms are very typical of August. The thing that's different, though, about what we're seeing this August is that we've seen some major thunderstorm clusters form in parts of Iowa over the last 2 days. One of those happened last night, and this is not a typical type of setup. The types of storms you're talking about just are kind of small, and they just kind of pop up in the afternoon, then they go away, and then that's it. Maybe they last an hour. What we've seen in Iowa, though, over the last 2 days are some pretty major clusters that formed overnight, and then they really blossomed into the morning before they finally dissipated around lunchtime. That was the case today, and we are going to see some more like that, more than likely, over the next 2 days. The real question, though, is where are these going to form? The waves of energy that are triggering these thunderstorms are almost undetectable. They're extremely small, and they're just kind of floating around as we speak. We think one of them may well end up being in Wisconsin and into northern Illinois tonight and into tomorrow. But pretty much anywhere from Illinois on west is fair game for one of these things to form. So we'll be watching that. And part of the reason this is happening is because it is turning much warmer as we speak. A hot air mass is building in from the southwest, and these storms are kind of forming on the leading edge of that hot air. Now, that heat is going to start to stick around because even though there is a cool front that'll move through early next week, and I know a lot of people are kind of banking on that, helping things out and preventing things from getting too hot, all signs are that this front is going to move through in a weakening phase. And a weakening cool front moving through a hot air mass is not a way to get a big pattern change. It's just a way to drop temperatures from the 90s in the afternoon and the 70s at night to maybe the 80s and the 60s and 70s at night. But once we get beyond early next week, another surge of heat is coming in, and this one will probably be stronger. So the main theme for the next 10 to 14 days is that it will be much warmer than normal in most of the Corn Belt, with high temperatures mostly in the 90s, lows mostly in the 70s, and with some of these thunderstorms around. Again, they're going to be hit or miss, but where they do hit, they're going to hit pretty heavily.
Are there areas in the Midwest or maybe across other regions of the United States that we need to be concerned about the weather? I'm thinking possibly of the Mid-South.
Well, that would certainly be the first area to look at. Now, we've been talking about how this is one of the wettest growing seasons in many years, and we just went through the wettest July since 1993 in the Corn Belt. Now, the only area that's been missing out on all this is in the Mid-South. If you look at Arkansas and the areas of western Tennessee and the Mississippi, they've been very dry over the last 6 weeks, and the rain chances there are pretty low going forward. So you can just kind of do the math and say to yourself, well, if I don't get too much rain for 8 weeks, you know, what is my crop going to look like? The thing that's a little challenging, though, down there is that they do irrigate pretty heavily, so that will certainly help out a little bit. But, you know, as irrigated farmers know, you always can get a really big crop if you have big rains, even without irrigating, and they're not really seeing that. So, you know, that is one of the challenging things to figure out is what's happening in the Mid-South. Probably the other thing to consider is that, you know, at this time of the year, you generally would like to see cool weather. If it's cool, then that allows these crops to fill and to reproduce and do all the things they like to do with a stress-free environment. That's not going to be the case, though, as we move through mid-August. There will be some temperature stresses in pretty much all growing areas at one point or another. So all this tied is just kind of taking what's probably been a pretty fantastic growing season and maybe not ending it perfectly, but even if we get through the next 2 weeks and it cools off after that, you know, maybe that'll offset some of this. But there are some things to think about for a change this year.
Thank you much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure, Todd.
Mike Tenura is the president and CEO at T-Storm Weather. Find him online at tstorm.net. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, we'll record our Commodity Week program today. Post it to the website at willag.org, willag.org, by about 6 p.m. this evening. You'll be able to hear all of that program tomorrow on our home station, and many of these radio stations will carry it over the weekend as well. You have a great day. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.